the sovereignty of God. I think sometimes believers look at circumstances around them and panic. Things are just too bad. What can God even do about it? Well, there's a great deal he can do about it. We look at national circumstances. Oftentimes they are pretty grim. And once again, the believer is kind of struck with the thought that he's in the midst of a wicked world going in the wrong direction, and what can he do? Well, we must not forget one of the cardinal doctrines of the faith, the sovereignty of God. Nothing exists in the universe except what God allows. He allows sin and evil and wickedness, because if he didn't, none of us would ever make it to heaven. He allows us to exist because he loves us, and he is determined to bring us to that blessed abode. And so in the midst of a wicked world, in the midst of confusing circumstances, we live. And sometimes it's hard to see the sovereignty of God. The world and evil men and wicked people seem to have control. And in their little spheres, they do. But overarching all of that is the providence of God, who is taking us one by one out of that wicked world and putting us into his people. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop him. And there's no way that the world can hinder his program. It's going on. It seems to be slow by our way of looking, but it is inexorable because of one doctrine: the sovereignty of God. He is in control. He does indeed settle what is going on, and the devil cannot resist that, and all his helpers cannot stop that. And we can rest in a mighty truth. I want us to consider this as we go through different passages of Scripture and note some of these assurances. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and verse 39. Moses says, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else." Now that's as uncompromising a statement as you will find in Scripture. And we look at all the wicked people, the demonic spirits, the devil himself, and we tend to be intimidated. God is not the least bit intimidated. He permits them to exist. And when the time comes, they will all be gone, removed from the sphere in which we live, and put where they belong, in a place of flaming vengeance. And he is in no hurry, and he is not worried about it. His plan is going onward. People are being saved. Saints are being edified. Individuals are prepared for that blessed future that he is waiting to bring upon his people. And he is not worried. We should not worry either. And friends, that's a problem for us. We tend to look at circumstances and worry. They can be intimidating, but they are not intimidating to God. Everything is right on track. His purpose is being accomplished. His people are being protected. He is going to see to it that every saint is going to get there. There's not one who is going to be left out. And you can relax. You don't have to worry, because the sovereignty of God is supreme. In Psalm 95 and verse 3, The psalmist says, "The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." And he's speaking, of course, from an Old Testament context in which the nations surrounding Israel all had their gods, all had different false deities, and they were trusting in them vainly. But the Lord is a great King above all. The other gods are imaginary or satanic. But God is not intimidated by any of them. He is going to accomplish his purpose, and no being in the universe can stop him. The sovereignty of God is complete. In Psalm 103 and verse 19, the psalmist says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." All right, his throne is prepared. Yes, he occupies that throne. It was prepared for him. We get various glimpses of that throne here and there in Scripture. Some of the prophets see that throne. Like Ezekiel, he was terribly intimidated by that throne. The throne is described again in the book of Revelation, where everyone is going to see it. Now, to us, that is not a matter of fear and trembling, because we know the Savior. And his throne is one of grace and peace for his people. And we trust in him for that. We are not worried. The wicked have good reason to worry. They're trying to accomplish their own agenda, sometimes diametrically opposed to what God wills. And it looks like, on the short term, that they often succeed. But no, none of them have succeeded. They've only practiced their wicked ways for a little while. And then it's over. And for all eternity, they have lost everything that makes life worth living. Friends, we may have difficulties to go through. We may have trials that we have to bear. That's all right. It's only for a time, a short time. The Lord is on the throne. He is accomplishing his purpose. He's going to triumph completely, and there will not be a single saint left behind. Everyone will be in his presence, rejoicing in the glory of his triumph, blessed beyond words with the presence of God, the angelic company, the redeemed saints, and a fellowship of the ages. His victory is going to be complete. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10, the prophet is preaching in the temple gate, and he says in the 10th verse, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble. The nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." Here the prophet says something that's very true. You have to remember, he's speaking in a time when the powers of darkness were very strong, and much of Jeremiah's life was spent in prison, imprisoned by wicked kings, defeated in his purposes. But no, it wasn't a defeat. It was a necessary trial to go through. And we all have trials that we have to go through. We just as soon skip them. But they're needful, or he wouldn't bring them into our lives. God never enjoys the trials of his people. He brings them because they are necessary. So when they come, it should not be a matter of fear or rebellion in either case, but of patient endurance. There are difficult paths that we are called upon to travel. It's all right. None of that is of concern. God knows the right pathway for everyone, and every sheep may be sure that the shepherd is leading them along the best path for their life to accomplish His purposes perfectly. Now, we can't do that with the best of our wisdom. We can't pick out the best path. We look at circumstances and oftentimes we are confused. And many times we look at pathways and decide that's not a good way to go. And the Lord leads us down that pathway anyway. And always for our good. Always for His triumph. Because He is sovereign. Sovereign. What does that word mean? Well, let me give you a definition from the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible. Sovereignty denotes a person who exercises supreme power with no area of his province outside his jurisdiction, so that he exercises his will absolutely without any necessary conditioning by a finite will. Wow, that's quite a definition. But it's the truth. God exercises His sovereignty totally over everything that exists, and no one can stop Him. The devil and all his demons cannot turn God aside from His purpose. And His purpose is the blessing of His people, the strengthening and training of them in this world, that they might serve Him forever, for His purposes are not short-term. He is thinking in terms of millions of years from now, where we will still be eagerly serving Him, worshiping Him, and His kingdom shall have triumphed beyond our wildest dreams. His purpose shall be fulfilled. And none of us need to fear. None of us need to worry, because He is sovereign. He is Lord over everything that exists, and the devil has his say for a time, only because he is part of God's purpose. And when his tasks are finished, he shall be put where he belongs and where he can never harm God's people again. And God's purpose shall continue on with unbroken triumph through all eternity to come. Now that's what the Bible teaches. We know that, but sometimes we forget. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now those are remarkable statements for the Lord to make. Here in the public ministry, surrounded by enemies, by people who would contradict him and oppose his purposes, and by disciples who didn't understand what he was doing and followed along in faith, oftentimes troubled by what was happening. But he was never troubled. He knew the purposes of his Father. And here he thanks his Father for accomplishing those purposes. Hid from the worldly wise. They don't understand what God is doing. They don't see his plan. But he is moving all things about to accomplish his will, and it is steady progress, steady triumph. The end is approaching, and his will shall be done in heaven and on earth alike. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, the church prays to God. And they do so by saying, Absolute Master, Lord, Thou art God. That strikes me. The early church a small group of people surrounded by wickedness in the midst of a government that was a rotten and corrupt government, persecutors on every hand. It was a desperate circumstance from the human standpoint. But they focus their prayer upon God. And the adversaries around them fade into insignificance. That's why they can address him as absolute master, Lord of everything. Thou art God, supreme, in control of all. And they were not afraid. And they stood up and spoke for the Lord in the midst of grave danger. And many of them were persecuted, but they couldn't be stopped. Their message couldn't be silenced. God did not will it. Friends, you have to recognize that God is sovereign. He is in control. And when we look at the circumstances around us, we're looking at the diligent work of the devil and his minions and wicked people. They're all trying to tear down God's work, tear down the people of God, ruin the testimony. This is their purpose. We have nothing to fear. God is sovereign. He is on the throne. And when we apply his holy word to our hearts and treasure the teachings of this blessed book, he accomplishes his purpose in us. And there's peace there because we recognize that God is not intimidated by circumstances or evil people. They're all part of his plan. His plan encompasses everything that exists. And he's already prepared for every emergency that can arise. There is nothing that he does not anticipate. There is no deed of evil and wicked people or evil spirits that he does not fully know already and has it under his provisions, in his perfect plan, and his people are secure. Now we must recognize this. This is a scriptural doctrine that is not often taught. The sovereignty of God is supreme. He is Lord of all. We know the Bible says that. But when we look at circumstances, we oftentimes forget. And when we hear the whispering of the old evil foe, we get shaken sometimes. And none of this should be the case. We should fasten our attention upon the Lord of all and see in his holy word how he has led his people every step of the way. He has never abandoned them. And we may know that there is never going to be a time that he abandons his people. And that means you are safe. Not because you've got good social security. Not because you've got a lot of police and firemen and so on around you. No, you are secure because God knows you as his child. And he is going to take care of you. And there is nothing that you should fear. Now, friends, this is not theory. This is the teaching of Scripture. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry, the foes that were around him, contradicting him, the evil spirits that he was encountering and he cast out, and all the circumstances of his life lived in what we would call poverty and obscurity, he accomplished all the will of his Father. He succeeded in accomplishing the atonement that made possible the salvation of every saint who trusts in him. Nothing was left out. It was all done. And he died, in the world's eyes, a terrible, tragic death. But it wasn't tragic. It was triumphant because he died for us, that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. and might have our purposes fulfilled in Him. And so, yes, the day will come when we stand before Him, not because we deserve it, but because He wills it. And we have nothing to fear because the devil can't prevent that. God is accomplishing His purpose. He is sovereign. He shall see His full plan fulfilled. No saint will be left out. No deed will be forgotten. He knows everything, and He's planned all of it. His sovereignty is perfect. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, Paul says, "Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." Ah, yes, He dwells in that serene realm, heaven. His power is complete. His sovereignty stretches over all that exists. And His power is everlasting. He shall never run out of His power. Friends, we serve a great God. In eternity past, He planned all of this. And for thousands of years, He's been guiding His people through this wicked world and bringing them into His presence. He's still doing it. And until He decides the end is timed, He's going to continue doing it. And the devil cannot stop Him. And the devil cannot stop you as long as you are aligned with His purpose, following His will revealed in His holy word. He shall work through you also, and the devil can't stop Him. We should not go through this world trembling and worried and concerned. There's no room for that in the believer's life. We walk by faith, trusting in this God revealed in Scripture, the God who loved us enough to sacrifice His Son, that we might live with Him forever. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? There will be nothing lacking in glory. There will not be a solitary thing that the saints want that they don't have in His presence. It will be a peace, a joy, a celebration that never ends, because the great King wills it. And He is the sovereign. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, John says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." That's the scene that we're traveling toward. That's the day of final triumph, where all things are brought in submission to Him, and His saints are there. Not one is missing. He has preserved them all, and they are there to celebrate with Him the greatness of our God, the marvel of His wisdom and power and sovereignty. He rules all that exists, and He always will. And His people are cherished as the bride, loved, prepared for, blessed beyond words. The great God loves them enough to marry them. And eternity opens up with joy, celebration, and no pain, no sorrow, nothing that could dim the blessedness of God's people, because God is sovereign and he shall win. And because of that, we shall win also. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, if you've been worrying about something, something has been badgering you, will you put that on the altar and say, "Forgive me, Lord. I forgot how great thou art. I forgot the promises of Scripture. But put within my heart the peace, the serenity that comes from knowing you are sovereign over all. O Lord, help thy people that we may all recognize how great thou art, that we may all understand that thou art leading us through difficult pathways because they're best for us. And we face trials because they move us toward thee. And we pray that thou wilt continue that blessed governance and help us to walk with thee daily, conscious of thy presence with us, trusting in thee every step of the way. We pray by thy grace and wisdom that thou wilt bring each one of us into thy presence right on time, right according to thy perfect will. And we ask that we may serve thee well here and there. For Jesus' sake. Amen.